Clerk, please call the roll.
Convening roll call for the 20th day, Monday, February 6th, 2017. Allen.
Here.
Baker.
Here.
Barlow.
Here.
Lightman.
Here.
Blackburn.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Bovee.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Clausen.
Here.
Clem.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Court.
Here.
Crank. Crank. Excuse. Dayton. Edwards.
Yes.
Eklund. Air. Fletner.
Here.
Freeman.
Here.
Furphy.
Here.
Guru.
Here.
Gray.
Here.
Greer.
Here.
Haley. Hallinan. Halverson.
Here.
Henderson.
Here.
Hunt.
Here.
Jennings.
Here.
Kinner.
Here.
Kirkbride.
Here.
Larson Lloyd.
Here.
Larson Dan.
Here.
Lindholm.
Here.
Lone.
Excused.
Laux. McGuire.
Here.
Madden.
Here.
McKim.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Nicholas. Excused. Northrup.
Here.
Obermuller.
Here.
Olson.
Here.
Paxton.
Here.
Pelkey.
Here.
Piperinen.
Here.
Pawnell.
Here.
Salazar.
Here.
Schwartz.
Here.
Summers.
Here.
Steinmetz. Steinmetz.
Here.
Sweeney. Walters.
Here.
Wilson.
Here.
Winters.
Here.
Zawanitzer.
Here.
Mr. Speaker.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
We have 57 present, 3 excused.
Okay, members, we are joined today by Reverend Mark Marson of First United Methodist Church here in Cheyenne. Reverend, thank you for coming. I'll join you in prayer.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. Our Lord in heaven, we ask that you may give us hearts to see the things our eyes overlook, hearts to feel the things our hands cannot touch, hearts to heal and hear the voices of your Holy Spirit. Our Lord, bless these men and women that they may truly do your work. Lead them, guide them, and carry them on this day, that they may do your work and the work for the state of Wyoming. For these things we pray through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. House come to order. Okay, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem has a quick privilege. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, in your inbox, you'll find a one-pager that I handed out. Last week, the Speaker read a quote from Territorial Governor Moonlight, and I was interested, so I went and dug out his biography, and that's what it is. Very interesting individual. I think you'll find it interesting. So just to show you what the people were like who came before all of us here. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Chairman Zwanzer.
Privilege of the floor, Mr.
Please
Speaker.
Please proceed.
Thank you, brothers and sisters of the 64th. Today we're visited by the Laramie County Community College Agricultural Trade Policy class. If you would please make them feel welcome there in the gallery.
Welcome to that. Welcome to the house, and as we always say, we look forward to you transferring to the University of Wyoming and staying in our great state. Thank you for being here today. Any other privileges? Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to start off by saying thank you from the depths of my heart. As you know, I lost a very important piece of equipment last week. And the crazy thing about it is pieces of equipment are so important to a person, it's like half of my brain was lost. Some of you already thought it was lost. But anyway, so when I found out on Friday that I also want to very specifically say thank you to Representative Baker. I was humbled, honored. You are family in so many ways, and you prove what Wyoming is all about. And I just wanted to say thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you to everyone. I appreciate it so much.
Thank you. Yeah. We are at that order of business of Journal Committee Report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 3, 2017 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Guru and Representative Gray.
Our doctor of the day is Michael McGlue from the University of Wyoming Family Practice Residency here in Cheyenne. Thank you. And you may have noticed that we have a new student page who is very experienced. So Haley Fry had so much fun. She has returned and will be with us again for the next 2 weeks. So Haley, welcome back to the house. We are at that order of business of reading and reference of bills. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 1,
General Government Appropriations.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to supplemental appropriations for the operation of state government.
House Bill 1 is introduced and referred to the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 42.
Senate File 42, introduced by Judiciary, Opiate Overdose Emergency Treatment.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to public health and safety.
Senate File 42 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 105.
Senate File 105, introduced by Senator Scott, Uniform Power of Attorney Act.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to powers of attorney.
Senate File 105 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next Senate file for our consideration is 115.
Senate File 115, introduced by Senator Christensen, Malicious Cruelty to Animals.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to crimes and offenses.
Senate File 115 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 133.
Senate File 133, introduced by Senator Hastert, postmortem despoiling penalties.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to crimes and offenses.
Senate File 133 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 154.
Senate File 154, introduced by Senator Hastert, sex offender registration, accessories.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to sex offender registration.
Senate File 154 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 158.
Senate File 158, introduced by Senator Case, depositions by telephone.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to evidence and witnesses.
Senate File 158 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 136.
Senate File 136, introduced by Appropriations, Energy Science, Stipends, and Fellowships.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to abandoned mine land funds.
Senate File 136 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 51.
Senate File 51, introduced by Appropriations, Approval of Water Funds Transfer.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to water.
Senate File 51 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 52.
Senate File 52, introduced by Appropriations, Fund Balance Definition.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to administration of government.
Senate File 52 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 72.
Senate File 72, introduced by Natural Resources, 2017 Large Project Funding.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Wyoming Wildlife and Natural Resource Funding Act.
Senate File 72 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 77.
Senate File 77, introduced by Senator Bebout, Capital Oversight Group Membership.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to state property and buildings.
Senate File 77 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 81.
Senate File 81, introduced by Senator Christensen, Circuit Court Judge Salaries.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the judicial branch.
Senate File 81 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 46.
Senate File 46, introduced by Senator Case, appeals by county assessor.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to taxation.
Senate File 46 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 145.
Senate File 145, introduced by Senator Nethercott, University of Wyoming and Community College Boards of Trustees Chairman.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the University of Wyoming and Community College Board of Trustees.
Senate File 145 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 91.
Senate File 91, introduced by Senator Hicks, Small Water Projects.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to water development.
Senate File 91 is referred to Committee Number 5, Committee Number 5, Agriculture. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 126.
Senate File 126, introduced by Senator Coe, Guides and Outfitters, Penalties.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to guides and outfitters.
Senate File 126 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 139.
Senate File 139, introduced by Senator Pappas, Game and Fish Licenses.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to game and fish licenses.
Senate File 139 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 60.
Senate File 60, introduced by Senator Anderson, Antelope Hunts, Complementary Licenses.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to game and fish.
Senate File 60 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 43.
Senate File 43, introduced by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, Alcoholic Beverages Revisions.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to alcoholic beverages.
Senate File 43 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 44.
Senate File 44, introduced by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, Speech Pathology and Audiology.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to speech, pathology, and audiology.
Senate File 44 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 45.
Senate File 45, introduced by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, Liquor Dispensing Rooms.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to alcoholic beverages.
Senate File 45 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 16.
Senate File 16, introduced by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, Special Districts Elections.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to special districts.
Senate File 16 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 64.
Senate File 64, introduced by Senator Von Fladen. Crash Report, Confidentiality.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to motor vehicle crashes.
Senate File 64 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 19.
Senate File 19, introduced by Senator Emmerich. Snowplow Lights.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the regulation of traffic on highways.
Senate File 19 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 54.
Senate File 54, introduced by Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs. Military Spouse Hiring Preference.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to military affairs.
Senate File 54 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 132.
Senate File 132, introduced by Senator Bebout. Economic Diversification Initiative.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to economic diversification.
Senate File 132 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 78.
Senate File 78, introduced by Senator Bebout. Federal Natural Resource Policy Account.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to public funds.
Senate File 78 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 69.
Senate File 69, introduced by Labor, Health, and Social Services. Small Employer Health Reinsurance Program Amendments.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to insurance.
Senate File 69 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 99.
Senate File 99, introduced by Senator Baldwin. Community and Rural Health Clinic Grants, sunset date.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to community health centers and rural health clinics.
Senate File 99 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. We are at that order of business of reports from standing committees.
Senate File 10, introduced by Revenue, County Boards of Equalization, an act relating to County Boards of Equalization. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred Senate File 10, ENG, County Boards of Equalization, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Connolly, Dayton, Furphy, Hallinan, Kenner, Larson, Madden, Obermueller, and Paxton. Signed, Representative Madden, Chairman. Senate File 11, introduced by Revenue, License Revocation Process, an act relating to license revocations. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred Senate File 11, License Revocation Process, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Connolly, Dayton, Furphy, Hallinan, Kenner, Larson, Madden, Obermueller, and Paxton. Signed, Representative Madden, Chairman. Senate File 23, introduced by Revenue, Fuel Tax Appeals, an act relating to the State Board of Equalization. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred Senate File 23, Fuel Tax Appeals, respectfully reports, same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Connolly, Dayton, Furphy, Hallinan, Kinner, Larson, Madden, Obermueller, Paxton. Signed, Representative Madden, Chairman.
We're at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 173.
House Bill 173, introduced by Representative Nicholas, Paramutual Events, Distribution of Fees, an act relating to paramutual wagering.
House Bill 173, haven't been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 223.
House Bill 223, introduced by Representative Baker, Concealed Weapons Permit Issuance, an act relating to concealed weapons.
House Bill 223, haven't been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 236.
House Bill 236, introduced by House Education, School Finance, Omnibus Education Funding, an act relating to school finance.
House Bill 236 has amendments. Representative Larson Lloyd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move corrected copy of the second read amendment number one to House Bill 236. And folks, what this does is this, as we talked about our education situation and trying to find ways we can be more economical and reduce expenditures, what this does is it addresses special education. And what the bill does is it freezes the special education, the state's contribution to special education at the 2015-2016 level. Now, it's important for you to understand two really important parts of this funding model. One is right now it is increased annually at about 4%, so that's about a $10 million a year increase to our special education funding. Then the second part of that that's important to understand, as you'll hear, is if we do anything with special ed funding that will impact the maintenance of effort associated with the Individual with Disabilities Education Act. And you need to understand that that maintenance of effort is not based on the percent that we reimburse, which right now, when we do that annual increase, we're reimbursing 100% of the costs of special education. Maintenance of effort under IDEA just requires that special education in order to qualify for those federal funds, you cannot go backwards from that level. For example, if we contributed $1 million this year as the state's portion, that's our maintenance of effort amount. Next year, we couldn't go to $900,000. We couldn't go to $999,000. It has to stay at $1 million in order to meet that maintenance of effort. And if you go below that, then you run at risk of losing those IDEA funds from the federal government. So what I'm saying is I think that this special education component is extremely important, but what I'm trying to do is get a little more control of the annual increases. And so as we move forward, if we have to adjust, if we find out that the actual costs for special education require more than this year's funding amount, not the percentage, but the amount, then we as this body can say, okay, I get that. Instead of maybe $10 million, it would only require $1 million. And then we would increase it, and that's our new maintenance of effort. Instead of being $10 million, it would only be that $1 million additional dollars. But once you raise it, it doesn't come back. And so this, in effect, would save us $10 million starting next year, plus $10 million the next year, plus the 4% attached to that. Now, I think that the education community might have some concerns and fear that we're going to stifle them from providing the least restrictive and most appropriate education to these kids with that need special education. And that indeed is not the intent of this bill. It only is putting a freeze on the amount that we put in there to stay in compliance with the maintenance of effort, and then we can perhaps drive this bus and contain and control those costs a little more clearly as we go forward. If that, now in one of the bills you saw, in fact, I think it's currently that we also reimburse 100% for those special education needs that have to go outside the state. I removed that because if I'm a school district and I've got a certain level of funding that I'm putting into my special ed, that becomes my maintenance of effort, and I have to send a child out of state for services, whatever more expenses I put into that increases my district's maintenance of effort responsibility. And so this bill, what this bill is saying is right now we're meeting the needs of all those special education students. Now, next year it will stay the same at that. Theoretically, those kids, that's not a static number. Kids come and kids go as they graduate, as they move, and whatever. This allows us to reevaluate it on a regular basis and then maybe come back to this committee or to this body and look at that and make adjustments that are more reflective of the actual costs. So as you look at the bill, it goes on to page 15, page 21 and 24, and it just inserts the language that freezes this funding at the 15-16 rates. Now, this does not go into effect this current year, the one that we're standing in right now, because the school districts receive the reimbursement at the end of the school year. Well, they're almost three-quarters of the way through this year based on a funding stream that they knew would be in existence. And so, indeed, it does. It really wouldn't impact it anyway because it's the same funding model. But it won't go into effect this year, but starting the next school year, that's the impact that it will make. So, Mr. Chairman, that's the proposal of this amendment, and I would leave it up to the body for some discussion.
Majority Whip Summers.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, thank you. I guess my question for the bringer of this amendment, because I haven't tracked it out, even though we discussed it, the one part I don't understand, in the original bill, and I hope the substitute bill, and I'll be honest, I'm not quite sure, we were concerned about those. So if you have a small district that has one of these really challenging students in special education, and they have to send that child somewhere else for services, we wanted to exempt them. When we originally had it in the bill to freeze, we wanted to exempt them, exempt those situations, because that one individual can almost break a small district. So my question to you, how have you treated that in this amendment? Because it wasn't clear in your discussion how you did that. So I don't want to see one child break a small district.
Chairman Northrup, for your first time.
Thank you. Members, in your inbox, you'll find a page that says DEN, House District 50, and it also has cuts on the top of it. And what I did over the weekend is charted this so that you could follow along and figure out where we are. And on the back side of it, then, is the external cost adjustments from the budget bills previously and the ones that we're working now. And so with that knowledge, you'll be able to figure out and follow along and make the cuts in your mind and add them up as it's going. And I had the same question, so that was my comment, was how you're going to track that, Lloyd.
Anyone else for their first time? We're on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 236. Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Even if it's not specifically addressed, you know, we're trying to work this funding bill. I just want to give these general comments to our body. And so we do have another opportunity to come back and address those small districts. And I think most of us have small districts in our legislative districts, and that is a legitimate concern. But I also like the fact that the sponsor of this amendment's bringing forward a cut. That's not an immediate cut. What it is it's a freeze that will go into effect and require more efficiency. And so I would encourage us to look at these reductions, these cuts, this stair-step approach as our overall approach to finding a solution to funding education. And if we need to come back in, and I am terrible on the education stuff. I mean, it's Sanskrit. I mean, it's hard for me to read and understand the words that are there and what we're trying to do. But I do know that I came down here to solve the problem. And I think this is a step in the right direction. And so I'm going to vote for this amendment, being very sensitive to the Majority Whip's question on how that affects small districts, knowing full well that we have people capable to make that accommodation in the next series of amendments to this legislation.
Representative Bovee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One of the things that the Education Committee really worked hard to do is to try to avoid any further lawsuits for the state. So if we don't meet the guidelines of the IDEA, then we could end up in a lawsuit with the federal government. But the districts also have to maintain their maintenance of effort. So I do have a huge concern for particularly small districts, especially when we're talking about out-of-district placements. If a small district has a child that has to be placed out of district, the minimum cost of that is $225,000 a year. That's what an out-of-district placement costs. If they then get a medically fragile student in, it doesn't matter how we want to cut back. The law says we have to provide what that child needs. So if you have a medically fragile child who needs a full-time assistant with them for toileting reasons, for feeding reasons, in addition to speech and OT and PT, and then perhaps they need a Braille machine, there again is a huge cost. The district will have to take the money out of the general fund and bankrupt the district or face a lawsuit. I urge you not to support this amendment.
Speaker Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I'm just looking at a chart here on state special education expenditures and so and how that kind of growth. And I know the bringer of the amendment talked the 4% growth, and so I think it's important to say why is that? And so then you look at the number of customers. And so you look at the student IEP count back in 2003, there were 11,640 students who had IEPs at an enrollment of 84,741. So 13.74% of the students had an IEP. So then you fast forward 13 years, 14 years, and so now we have 13,068 students who have IEPs, have an enrollment of 94,002 students. So that percentage is 13.9%. So the percentage, as I look over all these years, it goes 13.74, 13.89, 13.95, drops down to 13.83, goes up to 14.19, drops down to 13.95, and the 13.90 where we're at now. So I think when you talk about growth, I think this is going to be a real important thing that we understand growth on a per student basis, on a per customer basis. That's going to be the first thing. I think the original bill had something similar to this in it, had a freeze of special education and then a calibration of it, quickly happening this summer. The current bill still has a recalibration, I believe. Now, the substitute bill has a recalibration of the whole model this summer. And so, in effect, I'm just wondering really what the effect of. Is this an amendment really that signifies nothing, I guess? If we're going to be reimbursed next year on this year's expenses and then frozen, is that how I – or is it next year going to be last year's – next year is going to basically be the same as this year, I think, is what it's saying. So you're freezing it 2 years back, which with our drop in enrollment, it might actually be a higher number I don't know that. I mean, that's the thing I think you got to be careful about. And then, and I don't have a problem. I mean, I thought the, like I say, the original bill had a freeze and then go right into recalibration. But I think the thing you got to be careful of when you say 4%, that's just a gross number that doesn't take into account of inflation, and it doesn't take into account on a cost per customer basis. And I think, so we're, as we learn about all these things over the next couple of readings, we're going to have to really dig into that. Now, how do we get to these cuts? I think the good, I don't have his sheet in front of me, the good chairman of education brought that handout up, and I think I have it at my desk still. I'm looking for somebody to throw me a lifeline. I got it right here. Okay, thank you. And so, and I just want to make sure we know, so this particular amendment then would add, did I hear, $10 million in savings if you assume there's no increase. That it would add $10 million in savings. So as I see this, next year is $22.5 million. I'm looking at the handout provided by the chairman of education. And then the $9.4 million. So that's, what is that? That's right at almost $32 million. And then in the budget bill, I believe there's a 0.4, so that's six-some million. So that takes us to $38 million next school year. Now, we cut $22 million during this current school year in the budget last year. This substitute proposes, along with the budget bill, we'll cut $38 million. And then next year, as I add these cuts up, I'm just adding quickly in my head here and adding this. Why? It's almost $21 million. So the way I'm adding this is 22 and 38 is 60, and then another 21, we're at about $81 million. Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. So, and I think we got to make sure we always talk apples to apples. And when we talk about the general fund and what cuts we're talking about. So I'm not wildly opposed to this, and I'm going to speak a second time, but I'm not sure it's, I just assume we take a percentage cut to reach this amount. But I'm just not sure yet, and I guess I look forward to more debate. Thank you.
Anyone else for their, oh, I'm sorry, Majority Floor Leader Miller, first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Not for sure on the amendment yet. It's still making up my mind. I was just wondering about this maintenance of effort, and like the good previous speaker said, that if we actually have less kids in the district and the amount that we use goes down, do we have to maintain the previous biennium's effort? And the second part of my question is, what happens if we go ahead and make a reduction in the maintenance of effort? Do we lose 100% of the IDEA funds or a prorated percentage of those funds?
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the important thing to remember is that the new federal law is still being rolled out. We really don't know what it's going to say and what that standard is. It was very clear in the public testimony, and there's been a lot of public testimony to this thing, is they don't know what's happening in special education. They know that the number of kids is increasing. And they had all sorts of speculations on that. We are going to recalibrate this right away. I think that it's to the benefit of the state and the students to wait till recalibration before we make any changes to this. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Okay. Anyone for their second time? Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, just another add-on question is, you know, getting the federal funds, what percent of the cost of this program does that cover? I think I have an idea of what the answer is, but I just want to get it from an expert.
Anyone else for their second time? Second time prior to the sponsor. Mr. Speaker.
I keep kind of looking at this, and I just, again, I'm trying to get perspective. And so I talked about basically, because I always initially, when this thing all started rolling out, and I thought there must be some kind of oversubscription. There's got to be, since we pay 100%, there's got to be more identification of kids, and the numbers would explode because you're getting paid 100%. And so, again, from 2003, where IEPs accounted for 13.74% of our students, to today they're 13.9%. So it stayed right in that range. And then when you look at the total expenditures on K-12 education, you know, what percent of that? And it's really also remained virtually the same. And you see this growth, but it's part of this is, you know, it mirrors kind of the whole growth over inflation. The last 10 years of this model, we've grown about 0.75% past the rate of inflation on an annual basis. About 0.75% when we start school year 6-7 with the new model. And so I think, you know, I was really, when I first was getting into this issue and when I looked at the white paper, I was thinking this has got to be the first one to freeze us. The more I've heard about it and the more I've learned about it, I'm not quite so sure. And so if this model's going to be recalibrated already, I'm not sure what this really does. And so I don't know that it does any harm. I don't know if it does any of the good maybe that we're looking for. And my only concern is what some other folks have said. You know, this whole special ed thing, and we've done some of this to ourselves. Remember a couple of years ago we passed a bill to give all special ed teachers workers' comp? Well, probably not all special ed teachers need workers' comp. Now, some in, there's some high risk, and there's some that do a lot of lifting and those things, and then some that are risk. Those probably do, but many don't, I think. And I think that bill we passed a few years ago was $10 million a year. And I think those are the kind of things we can go after in recalibration. And I might be wrong. It might not be $10 million a year. Maybe that's the total bill. It seems kind of high. But I think those are the kind of things we can kind of start working back on. So my only concern with passing something like this is you have a very high, it's been said before, high-cost student that shows up at your door. You can't say, sorry, we're frozen, and you're only going to get these services. You're going to provide all the services, even if it means you're going to send that student out of state to Georgia several hundreds of thousands a year or whatever it might be. I mean, those are and one of those students move into your district, it's going to be a big problem. It'll be a big problem for your district to find that and figure that out. I think that's an issue out there. The other thing I have learned in the last month on this issue, we're like the lowest litigated state in the country. And our neighbor to our south is one of the highest litigated states in the country. And there's a reason, and it's because of our funding model and how we do that. So I don't know. I'm still wiggling on this amendment. I think there's going to be more cuts coming in this, and I think there's what I'm hearing from our people is more of a percentage, and let our locally elected folks decide that. And that's kind of the way I'm leaning. And I know we're getting pushback saying, well, then you get into the constitutional piece. I think that's we're already blowing past that anyway, in my humble opinion. And I think we're going to recalibrate as well. So that's where I'm coming down on most of these. So thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Chairman Northrup, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. And so I agree. One of the things we have to be real careful about is that maintenance of effort and how we look at the special ed program and how it's going to work out in this, in the whole overarching argument. Remember that recalibration is this summer and that we will be looking at this particular item. And this is one of the things that we'll be looking to see what our maintenance of effort, how we can work forward with that, how we can make cuts to special ed. But, you know, like the speaker said, when you get somebody that's a high-need student in your district, it can be a lot of money. It can be $250,000 a year. And so that district could be just wiped out in that if we don't have some kind of allowance for that. And this cut will not occur till 19. So remember, we're recalibrating. And since we're recalibrating, that the cut, those cuts and this cut will all come together at that time. Thank you.
Chairman Greer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. And again, you know, we just recalibrated and we didn't do anything. So I'm not going to throw my eggs in the basket that recalibration this summer is going to solve our funding problems. And so I realize that maybe this isn't perfect as it relates to the small districts. However, we have got to grab the rudder, I guess, and we've got to steer the ship somewhere. And so, you know, the bringer of this amendment's trying to do that. You know, we were up here on Friday, and we were talking about taxes, and you heard me get up here and argue for a small tax increase, not the large one, but a small tax increase, because I fully realize this is going to be a multifaceted effort to get there. And so we're going to say, no, we don't want to make any cuts. We don't want to make any hard policy decisions for a plethora of reasons that we throw out there. We're not going to get there. So we got to start making these decisions. And so with that, I see this as a step in that direction. They're hard decisions. But we can't continue down the path we're on. And I can assure you that when we went through recalibration this last time, we all knew what was on the horizon. And yet, we stayed right where we were at. I said, okay, we're going to get new consultants. Okay? They could come back and say we need to spend more money on education. We need to find a workable solution. And that's going to be a solution that involves cuts, as painful as those might be to people in the education world. We're likely going to require us to look at different taxing sources. As painful as that is to some of us and some of our constituents, it's a reality. We're going to have to divert revenue sources that are going to affect our general fund, that are going to require us to make cuts to other programs that people within this state rely upon. Those are the decisions we are looking at and the decisions we are facing. And these are the steps. They're hard. They're going to be hard. And none of us are going to agree 100% on what we come up with. But this is where we're at right now. This is the First Amendment coming up that we've had the opportunity to see with a solution that helps reduce some costs. Even though they might be put out a year, they're still there. So I'd still thank the sponsor for bringing the bill and am going to be a yes vote on this amendment.
Anyone else for their second time? Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd be very cautious about this amendment. We are going to recalibrate. We're going to look at what the federal government comes up with, the maintenance of efforts and other clarifications, what we need to make our choices when we do the recalibration. But I can talk to you as a former teacher. I would have a special ed student to come into my class, and there were times that I disagreed with the IEP, and me being me, I would do what I thought was the best thing to do, and I was called in and talked to, saying that you have to follow the IEP, and we're no different than what I was as a teacher. We have certain obligations that we have to fulfill for special needs kids. And we're going to look at the situation in the summer, and I would resist the amendment.
Anyone else for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I hope that I can answer the questions that we've discussed, and they're good questions, and they seem to, I think that they tend to make it over complicate what we're trying to do. Let's remember that in the maintenance of effort deal under IDEA, you have a state education facilitator, which is our Department of Education, and then you have the local education component, which is our districts. The districts have to stay in compliance with the funds that they have expended for special education. Percentages don't work, and that's the main reason why I'm doing away with the percentages, because OSEP doesn't care about percentages. They're just concerned about how much have you spent the last year. And whatever that was last year, you better spend at least that much this year. That's your maintenance of effort component, and that's kind of why I've elected to deal with an actual figure rather than a percentage. And so they have to be compliant, and at the end of the year, they have to report to the Department of Ed saying we're compliant. Both units have to expend the same number for special ed as they did the previous year. So with that understanding, we talk about we're putting along here and we're a small district, we have somebody move in who has a student that's going to require some expensive special education. They get reimbursed at the end of the year. They'll take care of that student. They get reimbursed at the end of the year. And at the end of the year, the Department of Ed will look at all of those districts and see how much adjustment has been made to the cost that they've had to expend for special education. Then once that's determined, then we can look at that and say, is it the same as we had last year? Or did it grow? And if it grows, do we need to adjust that? That's something we can do here. Did it increase $10 million? Well, maybe. Or did it only increase $1,573.63? And we could adjust it to that. And what I'm trying to get away from is this automatic increase of $10 million plus a year and make accurate adjustments. The bill has no intention of trying to go down or freeze permanently, because we know the costs will go up. But likewise, what happens to that school district that had that high education need, and he turns 21 and is no longer eligible, that moves on to the comprehensive waivers. And so now that district still has to expend that same amount of money, even though that individual's gone. And they have excess money. So how do we deal with that? We need to drive this bus a little more than what we have been. We haven't been adding. The good speaker talked about the increases going from 4% up to 3.9%. I wouldn't for a minute argue that, but we have not been making the increases funding to special education based on the individual, the number of students that receive that. We have built in an inflationary factor that automatically increases that year to year. Again, that's what I'm trying to get away from, is that automatic trigger that pours more money into that. There may be a year we have to put more into it. There may be a year that we can certainly put less, but I think that we need to be making a more accurate decision. So if you have a school district that has 1,000 students and something impacts that district and they drop down 100 students, do they still have to comply with the maintenance of effort level of what they did the year before? Yes. Can they get an adjustment in that? Yes, if there's a significant economic impact that affects that district, they can apply to the Department of Ed, who can then apply to OSEP and get an adjustment in the state and the local district's funding.
30 seconds.
But for the most part, it stays the same. If you've done that, what amount of the IDEA money would be lost? None. We need to maintain it. There is an overprescription, and that's what we're trying to make sure of, is that we don't have an overprescription. So thank you for your indulgence, Mr. Chairman. Please vote for it.
Right on time. We're voting on first reading, second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 236. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no.
No.
First reading amendment has been adopted. I'm sorry, second reading amendment number 1 has been adopted. We are on second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 236. Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I move second reading of amendment number 2 to House Bill 236 and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, now we actually get to talk about the bus. We heard the reference to driving the bus in the last one. Now we're actually going to talk about transportation. So on your bill, page 13, there's a corrected copy. It may have come into your box. There's a corrected copy. There's not a lot of differences, but there is a corrected copy out there. What we're trying to do with this, if you look at line 21, we're really trying to get to what's on line 21, and that's the school year. We just had a discussion about the school year, and the school year in the previous amendment was the current school, or the previous school year. This one is actually a school year that has not yet begun. So I think if we're going to start drawing some lines, I don't want to incentivize folks to spend more money in a school year has yet to come, and thus raising that bar. So my effort here is to take an average of 3 school years, and that's the 14, 15, 16 calendar years. Obviously, one of them we're halfway through it or almost through that school year, so there's still a little bit of ability to affect it, but it's still an average. And within that average, what I would argue is that you can have a fuel cost, you can have wage, et cetera, over there. And so I think this is a way we will gain more savings out of this because we're averaging over multiple years and we won't have the incentive to try to drive up a cost in a year that is still before us. So for those two basic reasons, I would ask for your favorable consideration, and I'll listen to the discussion and answer any questions that I might. Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr.
Speaker. First time.
Speaker Pro Tem. Also, I rise in support, and as you can see, I'm a co-sponsor of this amendment. I initially took a different amendment back, which was to take a 3-year mean average of the years 15-16, 16-17, and then, as the bill currently states, 17-18. But for all of the reasons that were just described from the good chairman, I agree with him, and so I signed on. I withdrew my amendment and signed on. In my district, several schools have begun the process of adjusting their travel budgets over the past couple of years already to try to bring down the cost. And so working off a mean average of 3 years, I believe, provides better average data to come to the right number. And it rewards them for already trying to implement some of these changes that they're going to have to implement in the future. They've already begun that process. And so by giving a 3-year mean average, I think it is rewarding for those who have been good stewards of their finances thus far.
Majority Whip Summers.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, thank you. I stand on in support of this amendment. I think it's a good way to actually go back in time and kind of even out the bumps in the funding while we freeze it going forward. Obviously, we're going to recalibrate next summer. I'm not sure whether we'll see any, you know, this number is very likely to change, but as a freeze goes, I think it's a good way to do a freeze.
Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. This is a well-thought-out amendment. We love rolling averages in K-12, and with that, I'd call for the question.
Mr. Speaker, for your first time.
Thank you. Understanding we're weary of this. I think this my question really is, it's still 100% reimbursement, but instead of on the previous year, it's on the 3-year rolling average. And again, I look over the years, and some years it goes up, and then some years the cost goes down. I think it's mainly fuel prices is what drives that. But I think if the intent is to save money, I think this might save a million or two, I think, as I look at these 3-year rolling averages. But I'm gonna vote for it, but thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Anyone for their first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Chairman Barlow, do you want a second time? Question having been called, we're voting on second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 236. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 236 has been adopted. We are on second reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 236. Majority Whip Summers.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, thank you. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I would like to move second reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 236, and body, I would ask for your favorable consideration. So on Friday, we had a great discussion about a half penny sales tax that we ultimately flipped out of the bill. And so what this amendment does is bring back a half penny sales tax if the sales and use tax, if the LISRA drops below $750 million. We already have in the bill a half penny sales tax if the LISRA drops below $500 million. And so I look at this as like a shock absorber. As we start to reduce our savings down, I think we need to trip in at $750 million. And then if we get to $500 million, we trip in the second one, which would end up being a penny. And so I think it's really important that we have this shock absorber in our savings program so we don't completely spend down our LISRA. I do not believe in the philosophy of completely spending down our LISRA before we act. So this is a shock absorber in the system, and I would ask the body to favorably consider it.
Anyone for their first time? Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I would just say all in favor of this amendment. I think it's a good idea to have another stopgap for us in this situation, to where we're not funding our education shortfall just with savings on this. I think it's a good policy decision for this body to make, but I would be strongly in favor of this amendment, and I urge the body to vote in favor as well. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Summers, do you want a second time? Question having been called, we are on second reading amendment number 3, to House Bill 236. All in favor say aye. All opposed, no. Division having been called, all those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. Twenty-seven against. Second reading amendment number 3 has been adopted. We are on second reading amendment number 4 to House Bill 236. Representative Henderson, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I move second reading amendment number 4 to House Bill 236 and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, what this is a gut check. I don't know about you, but I've received a lot of emails and calls from people who are asking me to consider very carefully putting in play taxes. And I get it. We need a source of revenue, and we need to address the structural issues. However, I would suggest, going back to our first day or so, the sky isn't falling. We're going to have a recalibration. There's a lot of eyes and good minds focused on this. And so I think here's an opportunity, before we let this go by, for each of us to take a gut check. You know, I'm thinking about the people who work for a living. I'm thinking about the people who, you know, we've already raised some fees in some other areas. And, you know, people who are very uncertain about the economy. Maybe they don't have the resources that you and I do. So I would just ask to take a moment and reflect internally and just let the body work its will. We're going to have a recalibration. We're going to have a lot of people look at this. I agree with the person who said that, you know, we are the super committee, and we're here to get a solution. But our body working collectively, maybe we should leave this option available. We can put this in at some other point in the process. I think if you look at our bill in this chamber, in terms of what the good committee has done, put together, they had a public meeting where a lot of people came down and voiced their concerns, and I think that's good, and I think we should listen carefully. And so I would ask for your favorable consideration.
Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I had the last amendment on your pile to delete the enacting clause, and I'm going to take the time now to address why I did that. Because if you look in your inbox, there's a handout from me, and it's Statute 2113.312, prorating payments when income from foundation account is insufficient. It says to preserve the integrity of the foundation account for the biennium and so that payments can be made during the full school year for each year of the biennium, if it appears to the state superintendent that the income available to the foundation program account is not sufficient to meet the payments as provided by law, this state superintendent shall determine a uniform percentage by which the amount guaranteed to each district under WS 2113309 shall be reduced so that available revenues in the foundation program account for that school year are nearly as possible to equal and to the end. But
Representative, is this germane to this amendment?
Yes, it is. So
thank
to
you.
This amendment, thank you, sir. I just don't feel comfortable raising taxes when we have a trigger in there for the superintendent to take care of the taxes, the funds there. And so I'm comfortable making our cuts right now, but then we could go through recalibration. We could do all of that kind of work, because she has the ability to decrease spending, and so on and for the amendment.
Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Temp. Speaking for the amendment, I think that we need to remove any taxes from this bill. I think we need to get more serious about efficiencies. We need to acknowledge that our economy is with this new administration, has the ability to come back. We have a lot of time. We have an LSRA that has built up a relatively good amount of funds. And if we're prudent, we can wait this out. You know, speaking to the last, to a representative that brought the last amendment that said that we shouldn't just spend down our LISRA down to zero, I don't think we should either. But we have an enormous opportunity to phase in changes and efficiencies during this time. And I haven't seen enough there. I mean, I direct you to page 35 on the bill, where the select committee that is created on this bill to study education, unlike the select committee that was created last week on a bill we voted on, it does not direct them to look at all at efficiencies. It only directs them to look at new revenues. And I think that kind of shows the direction that this bill is taking. It's really troubling. There's nothing on education savings accounts. I think we need to wait this out, improve our economy, and I don't think we need this. And we're going to be hurting working people by raising
these taxes, and I'm 100% opposed, and I am calling for the eyes and nose on this because I think we need to be on the record on it. So thank you.
Okay. The representative's called for the eyes and nose. Is there a second on the motion? Okay. Thank you. Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem, thank you. I stand on and against this amendment. Basically, this amendment strips any revenue out of the bill and any ability to buoy the LISRA from impending education needs. And so let's talk about the nuclear option that was mentioned that the superintendent could do. So we come in, we do nothing, we don't put any revenues in place. Something happens down the line, and what would that be? Maybe 25% cut? I haven't figured out the numbers for sure what that would result in 2022. So are we really going to cut schools out of small-town Wyoming? Is that what we're really going to do? Is that that's the nuclear option? And I don't believe that this body or the future bodies would do that. But what we can do now is make sure that we have some, I guess, just triggers in the LISRA that we ensure that we don't spend the LISRA down, because we're not, I don't believe that this or any other body is going to destroy education in Wyoming, destroy small town Wyoming, which is what that option is that the superintendent would have. And so I urge the body to resist this amendment.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. On and for the amendment, we had that great football game last night, and so kind of a football analogy. It's almost as if we're acting as if we're on our own 1 yard line, and we're afraid of that we might get a safety, that we might get tackled in our own end zone. And I would submit to the body, we're not there yet. We're not. It's part of the reason why we're working this thing over right now. Part of the reason why we have that super committee bill that we passed, because we've got some time, and yet it's almost as if there's this the tempo is so high right now. Let's slow it down a little bit. We're not in that much danger yet. Our back isn't up against the wall, and so we can slow down and we can say, hey, wait a second. If we need to go ahead and assess another tax, impose a half penny or a whole penny or whatever it is, we have got time. Okay, so the whole thing is let's slow it down a little bit. Pull back the reins. Whoa. We can slow this train down a little bit. We've got some time. And so I want to submit that to the body. I can't speak. Second thing, one thing to consider is we impose a sales tax. You have to realize that a lot of that is going to be paid by minerals. Okay, the same mineral industry that's hurting, same mineral industry that I represent back home in my county, a lot of this is going to be on their backs. A lot of it. And so we start imposing these sales taxes. What are we doing? Well, we're hurting that industry. We're hurting our bread and butter. Does this body really want to go down that road yet? I admit, there is a time and place for everything, and I think there's going to be a time that we're probably going to have to impose a sales tax, but I submit to this body, now is not the time. We can pull the reins back. Thank you, Mrs. Speaker Pro Tem.
Representative Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm very much in favor of the amendment and opposed to the bill, because I look at this and I think it was this body that gave the directive to your handout there to the superintendent. It does not say may, it says shall. And so they, in their wisdom, made that a law. And we've not even put that into the equation. So I agree with what the previous speaker said. We've got a little time. Let's let the wisdom of the people that put that into law. Look, they had come through booms and busts before. And so I would submit that since they put that in law, they had some foresight that we might be here today. So let's let that work first before we talk about new taxes.
Anyone else for their first time? Oh, sorry, Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. On and for the amendment,
There are several people in our, or around Wyoming, I should say, that have lost their jobs, and a whole bunch more that have had huge pay cuts to the amount of money they have coming in. And all of the paper cuts that we've been putting on everybody in this session, we're going to bleed them all to death. As I asked some of them, it looks like we have found the golden goose and we're going to cook it. I think we ought to step back and take a look and assess. This is Wyoming. I want it for my children and grandchildren. If we keep going down this road, we won't have any businesses left. As the speaker from my county had said, this will go on the minerals industry where the majority of it will be taken. They are in hard times, the whole mineral industry is. If we keep pecking and plucking at them, pretty soon they won't be here. There may be something else that takes their place, but I just as soon keep that golden goose alive and feed it. There are seniors that have permanent money that they have. It's fixed. They have no way of making up the paper cuts that we've been in putting on them in this session. They have no way to make that up. I think we need to look back from yourself. You might be able to afford a huge tax cut a little at a time, or tax increase a little at a time, but these people cannot. I hope that you will vote for the amendment and against the bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
For your first time, Representative Salazar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, last year when I was going door to door, I met a single mom with two kids. And the one thing she told me was that don't raise my taxes. I'm having a hard time making ends meet. And I found that message over and over again in my district, with seniors on fixed incomes, with vets who are retired, and now we're going to nickel and dime them again and again. This, I'm not even close on this. This needs to pass. This amendment needs to go forward. I refuse to raise taxes, a sales tax, a regressive tax, on people who are working two to three jobs to make ends meet in this economy. Please support this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Freeman, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you look on your goldenrod and go to the bottom of the page four, the PLF holding account, if you look at that, it had a beginning balance of $567 million and change. And if you go down to net revenues available after transfers, we have $54 million and change. When we get to July or June 1st, 2018, that money will be gone. Most of that money will be gone. When we say that we have time, I question that. We've spent a lot of money. We've spent already some LISRA money. I also went door to door this last election, and I did hear people that said that they were hurting. We're in Wyoming. We're in an economic bust. You're going to get that. But I also had a disproportionate amount of people that says we have to fix education and I'm willing to pay a little bit more. How much a little bit more is, I don't know. I don't know what different avenues that we have. But the bottom line is we cannot fix this hole by continuing to cut and cut and cut. The bottom line of everything that we're doing is education of students. I want a bill to come out which protects not only students, but the people who are paying for the educational system. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Winters, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. This bill has a number of good things in it. It also has a number of things that are receiving a tremendous amount of pushback. And I believe that the amendment to the bill makes the bill completely better, much better. And the reason for that is because when you contemplate how much we spend per ADM for a student today compared to the states surrounding us, we spend quite a bit of money. And there are places that we could cut without harming the education to our children at all. But also contemplating a tax increase at this stage in the game is too soon. If we were able to implement some of the things that are in this bill without the tax increases, I believe that we could make a tremendous difference. We could potentially right the problem. And also, it is our hope, of course, that the minerals industry will come back and do a tremendous job. But one of the things that, as has already been said, one of the things that will happen if we put a new sales tax on top of all of the funding streams that currently apply, if you look at the number of mills in your local county, how many of those mills go right now to education, it's an astonishing number, and by far the largest number. So now we're talking about adding an additional revenue stream completely separate from all the other revenue streams that currently exist. I think that that actually makes this bill, and this is one of the challenges of an omnibus bill. There could be really good things in it and some things that you absolutely oppose in it. And that's where we are right now with this bill. But with this amendment, I think that we make the bill as a whole better. Thank you.
Majority Minority Floor Leader Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. On and against this amendment. What this amendment does is gut the previous amendment and the previous discussions that we have had about how to establish some revenue streams in the omnibus bill. And just going back, the omnibus bill was designed to address the problems with education that let me just back up a little bit. We did not know the seriousness of where we would be with education when we had the previous recalibration committee. We just didn't know. The bust happened. And the revenue streams that we have relied on for education have dried up. And that's new. And so what we're doing with this bill is an attempt to address it, and as the good speaker has said, in many different ways, and in fact putting it into kind of four or five different pockets, and that we are addressing in this bill each and every one of them. One of them is cuts, and we are doing those cuts. This one here is about a tax increase. This is how we replace some of those revenues that are no longer there. They were there. They're no longer there. This is a modest tax increase. I urge us to go in this direction, to pass this bill as it exists right now, and that we go back to our home communities and say, we took the challenge of education seriously. We've tightened our belts. We are recalibrating again within that five-year period of time, and there's a modest tax increase. We're doing our job, right? So this amendment takes away part of that job, that hard job that we're tasked to do here. So on and against this amendment and on in favor of the bill.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. On and in favor of the amendment, I worry about the unintended consequences of the sales tax increase in this bill. I worry that withdrawals from the LISRA will drop to meet the safety net of automatic tax increases. Please vote aye on the amendment.
Speaker Harshman, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Just a couple of points I wrote down in great debate, and the first one was really on a handout that a good representative from Goshen talked about 21-13-312, where the superintendent, if there's not enough money, that's truly the nuclear option. That's the 25%. That's the cutting of 25% out of every school district's budget. I mean, I don't know, just the round numbers that we had LSO, that's 3,500 plus job losses, be dozens of schools closed. I don't think anybody signed up for that option. So I just don't think that is truly an option. This is Armageddon. This is a nuclear option. Okay, and so to put things in perspective, this general fund budget, which we have been crunching on, and the governor, frankly, did most of the heavy lifting last spring when the Craig changed again, that was a 12% shortfall. This is a 25% shortfall. So the number is twice as big, and so how do we get there? Well, this bill has kind of five parts to it. And I think it's important to really talk about what a potential tax, how it triggers in. So this new amendment that came in said, I think, $750 million. And then there's one that's in the bill for, that's a half cent, and then a half cent for $500 million. Well, why is that? I heard the debate saying, well, we don't want to spend it all down. Well, how long will it last? Depends certainly on investment revenues, because 1.25% underneath the 5% SPA, about $80 million a year, would refuel the LISRA. I mean, that's the way it's set up, we hope. But just to give an idea of what we've spent now in savings, so we'll spend the $570 on the education side. The reason why that got softened by $80 million is because of a proposed bill out there to bring in and guarantee the full 5% SPA. I mean, that's what we're hoping will happen, right? And so that's why it softened that. But our projections are to spend the full $570 plus another $70 off the $100 million balance. Then you combine with what we spent out of the LISRA, so in three fiscal years now, at the end of this budget, we're going to spend over $1 billion in savings, and we're going to have about 1.4 left. So, I think this thing, and I think that's one of the, we all, in our human condition, we get told a lot of things, but I think the biggest thing we got to watch out for is that we got a lot of time, because I don't think 21-13-312 is an option. I think Constitution and fundamental rights trump a statute. So I don't think this is something we're going to hold out for, at least I'm not going to hold out for that. So we're going to try to fix the problem with this five-piece plan. So I'm trying to support and help this bill. But then let's talk about this. If a tax would go in, it would be then at the 750 and the 500. And when does the tax go away? Well, on the bottom of page 17, it says when those 43 education mills provide 65% or greater of the education. That's on the last sentence on page 17 of the bill. So there's a trigger for this, but there's also a sunset for this when the minerals do come back. And so currently in the profile, this never happens. The tax actually never happens. And then finally, I just want a couple numbers. Minerals pays between 15 to the low has been 10, the high has been 20. So say 15%, and somewhere between 10 and 20% of the sales tax, mineral producers do. And companies that, buy pipe and drive it to locations and those things. Out-of-staters pay 11% of the sales tax. And the biggest month for sales tax collections is always July. And that's when more people are moving and people are building and traveling and shaking and moving and doing all that. So that's just to add a few facts to the debate. But appreciate the great debate. And I think however this works out, I hope we try to get something out of the House that, as the 60-member super committee here, that will, in fact, fix the problem and try to at least push it forward. So it's a tough decision, tough vote.
30 seconds.
I'm going to vote against the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. About the only good thing I can think about voting no on this amendment would be that there is no tax increase immediately. It would come after the LSRA drops down. But on the other hand, I would say the 1% that we're talking about, I think, would about equal the amount of money that we're putting into the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund every year, $190 million. So I don't really think this 1% is needed. And therefore, I will vote in favor of this amendment, and I would urge the body to support the amendment also. Thank you.
Representative McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Speaking against the amendment and also against sales taxes, The problem that we have is a multifaceted problem. And when you start looking at it and shining the light on a potential tax increase, suddenly people become involved in the conversation. My kids that I sent to a private school in the center part of the state, give or take, it cost about $4,600 a year per student per year. And they got a very good education. And when you look at the difference between that and what we spend per student, the difference is the fact that if you're writing a check, you start looking to see what that money is going for. And you become very concerned about it. If you start talking about a potential sales tax increase, it's going to hurt everybody. It's going to hurt me. It's going to hurt everybody. And that starts to shine the light on all of the different aspects that we have to deal with. There's no easy answer to this problem. So I'm opposed to the amendment and opposed to taxes.
Anyone else for their first time?
Representative Gray, you've already spoken for your first time.
Right.
Okay. Chairman Northrup.
My first for a second.
Anyone else for their first time? Okay. Representative Kinner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My first for a second.
Okay. Anyone else for their first time? Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My first for a second.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Clausen.
First for a second.
Thank you. Anyone else for their first time or whatever? Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time? Anyone for their second time? Prior to the sponsor? Representative Gray, second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. The argument we just heard from my colleague from House District 35 from the county where I live as well, I think that's proof for efficiencies and proof for education savings accounts, that his daughter was able to receive an education for $4,500 a year, a third of what we're spending currently on the public side. And I think that's an argument why we wouldn't want to feed this with more revenue. There's a lot of efficiencies there. Education savings accounts is a huge part of the solution. You could save $100 million a year, and that comment is further evidence of that. So I'm speaking for the amendment. We need to remove the taxes from this bill. It is not right to increase taxes on our fellow Wyomingites. Other thing I would say is, you know, look on page 3 of your goldenrod on the rainy day fund, the LISRA. There's $1.5 billion dollars there. So I'd also look on the goldenrod for that. We had some people pointing out different other accounts, but LISRA has $1.5 billion in it. Thank you very much.
For your second time, Representative Jennings. I'm sorry, Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. On and for the amendment, I want the body to recognize, remember that Wyoming dollar per student is up around $1,700 a student, and the average is around $10,000 a student. And we haven't made any real cuts to education yet that will hurt the child. And I would urge this body to support this amendment. Thank you.
Chairman Northrup, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I'm against this amendment. I want you to realize that there really is a sunset in there, and that that sunset will trip out, and that we won't have to be even into this, say, into that sales tax at all, the way that it's going. So, on and against.
Representative Steinmetz for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. So I do want to just thank the Good Education Committee. They have brought us a bill we can work with, and we're trying to find a way to do that. As regard to the nuclear option, had we been making these cuts gradually over time, it might be a little easier on us now, but this is where we find ourselves. But I think we have to expand the discussion to think about when we do a sales tax increase or the game and fish, or the fee increases we've been considering from other departments, and all of those things, we're taking a huge chunk of money out of our economy. And so one of our previous amendments to this bill had talked about pushing the date out for the enactment of the taxes until July 1st of 2018. That's merely all I'm proposing is that we wait a little while longer. It wouldn't have taken effect till then. We'll be in session again one more time, and we can make these decisions at those times. Thank you.
For your second time, Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I do want to correct my good colleague. He spent around $17,000 per student, not $1,700. I think you all know what he was talking about there. But let me ask you this. So we got our goldenrod here, and I'm looking at the governor recommendations column here on the LSRA. It's on page 3. I see there that we have 1.457 billion dollars. $1.4 billion there. So in this bill, we're taking out $100 million a year, okay? So that's $100 million a year. And let's just, on the conservative end of things, I don't know how this is going to go. We took $25 million out of the LSRA for that major funding account thing that we did. So let's just say in the conservative end that we take out $200 million out of the LSRA this year, okay? So now we're at $1.2 billion. And we've just put this in an amendment in here that we're going to trip it at half a cent at $750 million. Let me ask you, how long will it take before we reach the time to impose the tax? I'm not that smart. But it seems to me that it's going to take a little while. It's going to take more than a couple of years. And we get to meet again. So what message does that send in the meantime? What does that say to the rest of our state? How will our people perceive this? How will the newspapers perceive this? What will they be saying? What's going to be the headlines? How will that affect the economy? Because what's going to come out of this session is a half a cent or even a penny sales tax. And a lot of people aren't going to know the context. So what is that going to send? What kind of message does that send out to our economy and to our people when we have time? Again, our back isn't up against the wall. We're midfield. We're not down at our one-yard line. You know, this is what you call putting the cart before the horse as far as these taxes are concerned. You know, in my district alone, in my house district, over 2,000 people lost their jobs. 2,000 people. In the land of the camels. 500 of those came from the minerals industry. Over 400 students gone from our district. I have been affected personally by this. And when we don't make cuts, who is affected? It's those people who have lost jobs, those people who haven't gotten raises, those people who are suffering and trying to make ends meet. It's on their backs when we decide that we're going to raise taxes. And again, I ask this body, what message does this legislature send to them? It says you're expendable. It says we're going to milk you. We need to fund education. To my conservative friends out here, I know some of you have been getting emails. I've gotten emails saying that we should make this bill as bad as we can. I agree with the good chairman of business. I want to make this bill the best product that we can. I want to pass something. I want to take it back to my district and say, we did something good. So I would urge my conservative friends out there, please, 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 don't try to kill this bill by making it bad. Work this thing over. We were elected to work this thing. Don't kick the can down the road. Don't kick it to a super committee. because you never know what the super committee is going to come back with. We have the opportunity. It's within our hands, and we have time. So I would urge this body, vote aye on this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Anyone else? Representative Kinner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we're trying to do with this bill exactly what the good representative from Camel Country talked about, actually. That we've got some sideboards on this bill now, and if you look at it really closely, you can see that we're not going to implement this tax right away, that there's some sideboards on that, and that we don't want it to stay as a permanent tax. I think we're looking at this as an insurance policy, quite honestly, so that we don't have to make huge cuts to education and the tragic effects of that. I think if you listen to your districts, if you listen to the people at home, they're saying, at the end of the day, please be responsible in your actions, and I think that's what we're trying to do. We've got a trigger of when that could go into place. We're taking it out at some point, so really I think it's an insurance policy for the future of our education and for the future of our children. Please vote no on this amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Henderson, do you wish a second time?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. And thanks to everyone for a really good debate and a lot of good comments. This is a tough vote, but we have to remember, I believe, that the most important thing here are the students and the children who are getting the education. And I think we want to do things that will ensure that they receive value for every dollar that's in the classroom. And I think we should put more dollars, value-added dollars, into the classroom. I don't think it's wise to make a decision prematurely, betting on what's going to happen between now and the results of a committee and the results over the next months. We have a good bill, I believe, without this tax. It's an option that can be exercised. There is money available to get us through with regard to the LISRA, and also, I believe, with regard to the reserves that are held within among the districts. I believe that we should use a percentage rather than a fixed figure, because that allows for circumstances that we can't predict. I believe that we should allow latitude at the local level. I believe that parents know best for their children. I believe that the school districts have superintendents and principals and teachers who care very much for the children going to the schools. So I'm going to vote no yes on the amendment, but I would urge you to join me with the idea that we want to get our bill through. We want to get our bill through because I believe our bill that's been worked up by our committee is the best bill for this time and this place. Thank you, and I call for the question.
Ladies and gentlemen, great debate on the bill. The ayes and noes have been called for. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Aye. Baker.
Aye.
Aye. Barlow.
Aye.
Aye. Biteman.
Aye.
Aye. Blackburn.
Aye.
Aye. Blake.
No.
No. Bovey.
No.
No. Crank. Brown.
No.
No. Burkhart.
Aye.
Aye. Burt.
No.
Bird.
No.
Clausen.
Aye.
Aye. Clem.
Aye.
Aye. Connolly.
No.
No. Court.
Aye.
Aye. Crank. Excused. Dayton. No. Edwards.
Aye.
Aye. Eklund.
Aye.
Aye. Ayer.
Aye.
Aye. Flitner.
Aye.
Aye. Freeman.
No.
No. Furphy.
No.
No. Giroux.
No.
No. Gray.
Aye.
Aye. Greer.
No.
Haley.
No.
No. Hallinan.
Aye.
Aye. Halverson.
Aye.
Aye. Henderson.
Aye.
Aye. Hunt.
No.
No. Jennings.
Aye.
Aye. Kinner.
No.
No. Kirkbride.
No.
No. Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Aye. Larson Dan.
Aye.
Aye. Lindholm.
No.
No. Lone, excused. Laux.
Aye.
Aye. McGuire. No. Madden. No. McKim.
Aye.
Aye. Miller.
Aye.
Aye. Nicholas.
No.
No. Northrup.
No.
No. Obermuller. Aye. Olson.
Aye.
Aye. Paxton.
No.
No. Pelkey.
No.
No. Pieperinen.
Aye.
Aye. Pannell.
No.
No. Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
No.
No. Summers.
No.
No. Steinmetz.
Aye.
Aye. Sweeney.
No.
No. Walters.
Aye.
Aye. Wilson.
No.
No. Winters.
Aye.
Aye. Zawanitzer. No. Mr. Speaker.
No.
No. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Lindholm, no to aye. Further changes? Madden. No to aye. Other changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 32 aye, 26 no, 2 excused.
Second reading amendment number 4 to House Bill 236 has been adopted. We're now on...
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I move the House stand in recess until 2 p.m.
Committee announcements. Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Your committee number 10, Labor, will meet today upon adjournment to hear two bills, and I forgot got the wrong one brought up with me, so I apologize. I'll go grab the right announcement. Thank you.
Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Your committee number 4, Education, will meet today upon adjournment in Jonah Room H38. We will hear Senate File 36, continue that one, which is Education Leader Evaluation and Support, and we'll continue the discussion on Senate File 37. We just took public comment in a little bit of time we had at Friday. Thank you.
Chairman Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet in 10 minutes in Jonah Room H38 to consider the following two bills: Senate File 30, Engrossed Jail Placement Coordination, and Senate File 31, Genetic Information Privacy.
Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Again, your committee number 10 will meet today upon adjournment to hear two bills, Senate File 62, Engrossed Telepharmacy Amendments, Senate File 66, Engrossed Title 25, Payment Obligations, Federal Entities. Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Chairman Zawanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Committee number 7, Corporations, will not meet today at lunch, but we will meet tomorrow, Tuesday, upon noon recess to hear the following three bills: Senate File 14, Inoperative Liquor Licenses; Senate File 43, Alcoholic Beverages Revisions; and Senate File 45, Liquor Dispensing Rooms.
Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Your committee number 5, Agriculture, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock in H36 to hear Senate File 56, Omnibus Water Bill Planning Bill, and Senate File 3, Select Water Committee Review of Projects.
You have heard the Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Your House JAC will meet at 8:30 tomorrow morning, and we will be hearing, and I don't know if this will be the order yet, but Senate File 2, ENG, Legislative Appropriations, that's Management Council; Senate File 8, Transfer of Water Funds; and if time permitting, Senate File 41, Enterprise Technology Services. Then on adjournment, we will meet for anything we don't complete of those three. Then also Senate File 47, State Institution Revenue Accounts, and Senate File 49, Investment Funds Committee.
Okay, you have heard the motion to stand in recess. All in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed? No. Okay. We are in recess until 2 p.m.